My name is Rick Searle. I'm the senior pastor at Faith Presbyterian Church in Anniston, Alabama. Grant Carroll is our associate pastor, but neither one of us will be in corporate worship, and neither will you for the next month. Our session has, as you know, suspended our worship services until at least the first Sunday after Labor Day, and we're hoping that the COVID situation calms down again and we can get back to corporate worship like we did before. You know, before we had some online things when we suspended the worship services. We had online things. We had preaching and announcements and prayer, and we had some music for you and so forth. This time we're going to change things up just a little bit. I'm going to do some teaching. We're going to pray, but we're also going to do a community building exercise that I'm going to share with you what that's about in just a few minutes. My grandchildren, and I guess my kids now too, they're starting to call me Grand Cat. That's not what that G stands for, but we'll pretend that it does stand for Grand Cat. And I welcome you to Grand Cat's Cave. And I hope you'll enjoy our time together. I'm looking forward to it. Let's get started. Before we have our time of teaching, let's pray together. Susan has a link there for you to that has a bulletin with some scripture in it and also names for people that we are continuing to pray for. We're especially praying for Chip Jones, our head of school, and his wife, Ann. Chip is doing much better. He has the COVID virus. He's in quarantine. He had a bout with pneumonia. It really scared us, but he is doing much better. Please continue to pray for him, and thank you for praying for Chip and Ann. Also, pray for Grant, Carol, and Camille. They both have been have tested positive for the COVID virus. Grant continues to improve. Camille's a few days behind the curve, so to speak, and she's still having some difficulty with headaches, and both of them are just tired, just like Chip. Also, pray for Aura Bain, who is doing better. I think Aura is, at least it seems that she's handled this and suffered physically less than the other folks, but we're thankful for that. Of course, she may not be telling us everything, but pray for Aura. And please continue to pray for Shelby Ray, one of our school board members who also tested positive, and continue to pray for Joe Mike Montgomery, who was in the hospital, and he also had a bout of pneumonia with this mess. So I saw him at Publix last night. He seemed to be doing very well, but please continue to pray for Joe Mike Montgomery as well. Also, give thanks to the Lord for protecting and guarding Jimmy Miller's life. Jimmy received 3, not 2 stents in Birmingham last week. He's doing better. He feels better. He feels stronger. Please continue to pray and give thanks to the Lord for my new grandchild, Lexi Marie Searle. We are grateful for her arrival in the world, and I'm thankful that Jenny is doing so well, and Jacob as well. Thank you, Lord, for that, and we'll praise God for that blessing to us. Continue to pray for these other folks in our bulletin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you that you truly are with us, that you are close to us, that you care for us, that you feel what we feel, that you know our hearts deeply, and you do not condemn us because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are continuing to, in your grace, make us more and more into his image. And we thank you for the promise that suffering and trials in our lives bring about your purposes of conforming us to his image. Lord, that is a great mystery to us, and we rarely remember it in the midst of struggle and suffering. We usually remember it on the outside of suffering, on the end of suffering. But Father, I pray that as my brothers and sisters, all that we just mentioned, Chip and Ann and Grant and Camille and Aura and Joe Mike and Shelby, they struggle, also Rick McLeod, Chad's dad, as they continue to recover, we pray that you would be close to them and help them to be mindful of your great promises in the gospel, that you are our God, we are your people, that we are your children, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you remind us of that through your word, and as we pray and remember your word, and as we fellowship one with the other. And Lord, we also thank you for guarding and protecting Jimmy Miller. Thank you for that extra stent that you worked out for him that he didn't even know that he needed, and that the doctors didn't know that he needed it. Thank you that you protected him and got him in the right place, and that he is back home recovering and even back at work some. Please continue to give him strength, give him wisdom and discernment as an elder in our church, and bless him and bless Gene, and continue to be near to them. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve the policeman at Anniston Police Department. Thank you for the friendships that you have developed over the past year. Thank you for the support that we have for them to minister to them and take them Chick-fil-A and donuts and just brighten their day up a little bit. But thank you most of all that we can encourage them in a time of great discouragement for police officers throughout our country. Thank you for this opportunity. May we honor you and honor them as we continue to do this ministry. Father, we give you thanks for Bernie and Stephanie's engagement. Thank you for this young man of this church. Thank you for the gifts that you've given him and a great heart for you. And I pray for Bernie and Stephanie as they prepare for a new life together, that you would go before them and continue to bless them. Thank you for their families and the services that they have shown to this church for years. And thank you for Joe and his commitment to his family and his church, but most of all, his commitment to you. And we give you praise again for your faithfulness to this family. Father, thank you for Catherine Dix and Derek and Laura Daugherty, Brad and Colleen, Anise Zaka, Kristen Flanagan, the Hightowers, Wayne and Ann Curls, and Harris and Laura Beth Bond. Thank you for your calling on their life to spread the gospel in a mission format. Please continue to provide each of these brothers and sisters with what they need to do your will. Mostly remind them to just remind them that you love them dearly, and that your love is deep and high and wide for them, and that your son has given himself for them, and that he is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Just give them encouragement, especially in the strange time of ministry that's difficult on many fronts, especially for missionaries. But we pray you would bless them and keep them. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you that we can pray. And thank you that you are the God of all comfort. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your bulletin, or you can use your Bible and open it up to Galatians chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I enjoy people, and I enjoy getting to know them, and I like to hear their stories. And so when I get with somebody for coffee or for lunch or something like that, I usually ask them about the different stages or the different seasons of their lives that make up their story, what their childhood was like, what was middle school like, junior high school, if you're older like me, yeah, junior high. Did you like high school? Did you play ball? Were you in the band? Were you a cheerleader? What did you like to do? What were you preparing to do for the rest of your life? What were your gifts and so forth? And then I talked to them about those early years of adulthood when they're transitioning from high school and going to college and studying the things they love, or getting a job and doing the things they love in life. So talk about those things. And then if they're married or if they have a girlfriend, I ask them about their marriage or their girlfriend or their boyfriend, and how long have they been married, where'd you meet, and so forth. And then as you get to know people and hear about their families as they are young adults, you hear the stories of their families. And I can tell, in most cases, that's very encouraging, but I can tell when young people are beginning to be friends with their parents, good friends with their parents. You know, that does happen somewhere between 25 and 30. You know, your kids start to be good friends. And so I ask them about their parents and their relationship with them and so forth. And also, they may be starting a family. So how many children do they have? What are their birthdays and so forth? And then eventually, the older they get, they start to have their own grandchildren. That's one of the phases that we are in. And that's a great, great time of life, obviously. And then as you get into that stage, you see your parents, they see their parents getting older, and they start to care for them and watch over them and so forth. And then some people I know, when I talk to them, they tell me about how hard life is without their parents. And it really is hard without your parents. That's the stage of life. It's the hardest one. And I don't like having to be the adult. I liked it a lot better when my mom and dad were the adults. So we go through stages, life stages. We go through seasons. Which stage are you in? Which season are you in? If over here, you have my grandchildren, 30 months old and younger. They're over here at the beginning, right? And you got childhood, junior high school, young adulthood, marriage, building your family, and so forth. Where are you on that scale? Which season are you in? As human beings, we think in terms of life stages or seasons. Seasons of our life stages. But God thinks in much bigger terms. He thinks in terms of ages. And the word age or ages is used throughout the Bible. Jesus uses it. He talks about the end of the age. The apostles talk about the ages as well. And you see that right here as Paul starts off the book of Galatians in the very first verses. Now, Paul wrote Galatians as his first letter. It's the first letter he writes. And so as someone who God uses to write the Bible, you know, the apostles are the ones, the prophets and the apostles wrote God's word to his people. This is his entry as a Bible-writing apostle, right? And so this is, his first words are very, very important. That's the way it always is when someone makes an entry into the scripture. Think about Jesus. His first words recorded for us are, "The time has come. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the gospel." Astounding and important words. And so here, in a similar manner, Paul is packing in terminology and just phrases that are just vital to Christianity. And this is significant that he uses the word age here, because we need a map. We need a map of history to know where we're going. And that's why he employs this word age in this passage. Theologians talk about the three ages in the Bible. And I've included a chart that demonstrates that teaching. The chart summarizes what the Bible says about where history is going. The yellow on the chart represents God's glory, the righteousness, peace, and joy of his kingdom. And the gray is the presence of sin and death. But let's start on the left. The first age is the garden age, or the age of innocence. You could call it age of righteousness or the age of peace and joy. This is right at creation, when God creates the world and everything was good. He creates man, male and female, after his own image, to love him and to enjoy him. And everything is very good in the world. But then Evil enters the world, and the world's culture is changed. Sin enters the world through a man, and death through sin. And now, instead of righteousness and peace and joy, you have unrighteousness, you have unrest, and you have sadness. We have problems on the inside, in our hearts, and we have problems on the outside. Inside, we have anger, pride, envy, idolatry, and so forth. On the outside, you have sickness and disease and death. Again, this is the dark age that we live in, number two, the present evil age. And everyone, especially today, would say the presence of evil is undeniable. That's why people say, who would want to bring children into a world like this? And the saddest news of all is that when men suppress the truth, we wind up condemning God for the presence of evil. We live in the present evil age. So sin and death entered the world through a man, and death through sin. We live in the present evil age. But the good news is that in the gospel, there is a man from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man from heaven. He enters the world as well. You know, sin and death come through the first man. Righteousness and life come through the second Adam. Jesus is the new Adam who brings the life of God, the kingdom of God, back into the world. He restores the righteousness, peace, and joy of God's kingdom in the hearts of his people. He's doing that one heart at a time as people believe in Christ, as we believe that he lived as our substitute. He lived in our place. He lived the life that we cannot live. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind, and his neighbor as himself. Jesus keeps the law in our place. When we believe that, God accepts us. When we believe Jesus died as our substitute, he died the death we should have died. He died for our sins. When we believe that, God receives us as his children. When we believe God raised him from the dead to validate who he is as the God-man from heaven, that's when we are restored into the kingdom of God. We believe Jesus lives in our place. He died in our place, and he was raised for our justification. And notice how important in this passage the resurrection is. It's in the very first verse that Paul writes as an apostle. Through the resurrection of Christ, through his death and resurrection, we are born again into the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. And so Jesus Christ brings the power of God's kingdom into the world. He invades the present evil age. He delivers his people. He rescues us from sin and death. But even though the man from heaven has come to restore and renew the world, there's still a problem. The problem is sin is still present in the world and in our hearts. We still have to deal with trouble outside of us, and we still have to deal with trouble on the inside of us, like anger and pride and idolatry and envy on the inside, COVID, cancer, heart disease, you name it, on the outside. We live in this tension of the kingdom being here and the presence of sin, the power of sin being here at the same time. It's a tense age. And that's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong on the outside of us. And that's why Paul calls this time the present evil age. The good news is the clock is running out on sin. That's what this chart shows us. Jesus will come again, and he will completely do away with the presence of evil. He will do away with sin and death forever, and we will live with him and one another in the glorious age to come, when we will see and enjoy God's glory in its fullness. We will love him. We will know him. We will have peace. The third age is the most important on the chart. It's important to know where we are in the big story. It's highly encouraging and comforting to know where you are in history. History is going somewhere. Jesus is taking you and me to a place of righteousness and peace and joy. He's taking us to a new heaven and a new earth, a place where everybody loves God and enjoys Him, and everyone loves one another and enjoys their brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are headed to the glorious age to come. Jesus is taking us there. And that's good news. And it's a future hope we have. But that good news of the gospel isn't just about a future hope. It's also about a hope that we have in the present. The word there for present, evil age, is it means near or imminent. And just as surely as sin and death and disease and sorrow and viruses are near to us, Jesus is also present and near to us. He has said to us, has He not, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Jesus is present with us. He's the new Moses who is leading us to the promised land. He is taking us to the glorious age to come. He is with us. He is present. But there's even more good news. And let me finish up with this. Jesus, yes, He has delivered us from the present evil age. He is with us, but He has given us something else, someone else, a lot of someones, in fact. He has saved us from the present evil age. All of us are brothers and sisters. His brothers and sisters are all part of His big story. We're all connected. We are His body. And that's why it's so important for us to know one another's stories and how God has worked in our lives to bring us together as a church. It's important to know these things so that we can love people more deeply and understand them more deeply and help them and bear their burdens as we are on this journey together. God wants us to know each other's stories so we can strengthen and comfort and encourage one another. You know, as a pastor, I started off by saying that I like to get to know people. I do. It's a great privilege to know people, to know their stories. And you know what? I want you to know the people of our church better. You know, we've got a lot of cool people. It's important for you to know about their lives. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to have a brief lesson, and we're going to pray. But we're also going to talk to a fellow pilgrim, a brother or sister in the Lord. I want you to learn more about God's grace in their lives so that you will see His grace in your life even more, and that you can pray for one another more intelligently. We all need that encouragement as we're on this journey to the glorious age to come. I hope you'll come back next week, and I hope you'll listen from Grand Cat's Cave, and I hope you will go away loving God more and loving your brothers and sisters even more. Thanks for listening. Good night.